What's up, everyone? How we doing? What's going on? On this episode, I talked to my man, Jake Newton, again. I talked to him on my first podcast, episode number one, and I'm going to talk to him many more times because I love the dude, and we talk about stuff that really matters to us, and it gets pretty deep, and it gets emotional. Exactly how this episode is, like, we weren't expecting to get this deep, and honestly, we just were like, let's do another one today, and it just got pretty heavy. So on this one, we actually end up talking about sexual abuse and coping with that abuse. And we talk about viewing life through fear versus through love. We talk about living like kids do, and how they could be terrific role models for us, just the way that kids are. And we talk about that book, The Untethered Soul, which has helped us a ton, just the lessons and the teachings from it, and just how being able to grasp what it's talking about has just honestly changed our life, which is so crazy because it's literally a book. And I mean, even for me, I'm like, dude, a book has never, I never thought I would be spending so much time dedicating my life to a book, but here I am. And I'm telling you, this stuff has seriously, seriously affected me. This episode gets deep, and it's something that a lot of people don't talk about. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I talk about or have talked about in these episodes so far is a lot of stuff that people don't talk about, which I feel it comes easy to me. But this is one that we both weren't really expecting to get into. And I feel blessed and have the pleasure of Jake willing to open up and talk about this kind of stuff. And I really hope that someone that listens to this episode can take something away from it and can go and seek that kind of help or take that step to better themselves and move forward in their life to living in peace and living happily and enjoying every moment of what they're going through and where the place that they're at, exactly where you are. So like I said, this one gets a little deep, and I loved it, and I hope you guys love it. And if you guys have any questions or anything, message me, message Jake. But thank you guys for listening. This is episode number 6 with Jake Newton.
Curious.
One time. Curious.
Okay, so now I know where that is. So just so I can link them up easy.
Yeah, I'm going on mine here.
I'm drinking a fucking... Yeah, me too. I'm drinking a little coffee here.
My man. A little afternoon coffee for
this. I think it's my third coffee today. I don't drink a ton of coffee.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy it.
Yeah, it is good. I actually brought... So a few months back, a lot of months back, I had a friend of mine, Patrick Bjorkstrand, and his girlfriend Tila over for dinner one night. And decided to bake something after. And I went with, of course, a healthy option. And I bought this coconut oil. But that was the only time I used it, right? So then it was just sitting up in my cupboard, not getting used. So another friend of mine, I saw him put coconut oil just in his coffee. And so then I brought that to the rink, and I use it every single day now and put it in my coffee. Now the boys keep asking me, what the heck's in there?
Dude, coconut that oil is exactly what I was telling you earlier. That's what a bulletproof coffee is. So
I'm well aware of what bulletproof coffee is. I thought you were talking about the company Bulletproof.
Right. So Bulletproof is the company. It's a bulletproof coffee. And what you do is you put that oil that I was telling you, the brain octane oil, which is, I think it's 10 times stronger than coconut oil. It's like pure, the purest version of coconut oil you can get. And you put that in the coffee, and you also put, ghee, I'm not sure how I think it's ghee actually.
Ghee.
Yeah, ghee butter in the coffee with the brain octane oil, and then you blend it.
Yeah.
And the bulletproof diet, that's your breakfast. You don't even eat until like 11.
Yeah, I like that.
Dude, I honestly think coffee tastes a lot better with a little butter and a little oil in it.
Absolutely. And you could add some, a little dash of cinnamon on there.
Ooh.
You know? But yeah, I like the blending part. It makes it like a little frothy, almost kind of like a cappuccino.
Yes, seriously. Have you ever tried any mushroom coffees?
I have not, but I have started to see them.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like that's something that you would be into also.
I'm a huge fan of mushrooms, so I could see myself liking that.
Yeah. I've never tried the coffee. I also, I wouldn't say huge fan of mushrooms, but I would definitely say I'm a fan. Uh-huh. And that coffee I've heard is great for you. And I think that's another different version of the Bulletproof coffee, that maybe you put some kind of mushroom powder in it and make it, or maybe even make it like a smoothie where it's like the a mushroom with coffee. Cause I know the Bulletproof, there's a, I used to have this Bulletproof like shake that was like the Bulletproof coffee mixed with like some kind of protein powder and then like that ghee and oil and a couple other things, and that was unreal.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So maybe the mushroom stuff would be good too.
I think Matt, Hockey Pro Training Matt, I think I saw him maybe doing a little bit of something with that mushroom coffee.
That's who the last person I was. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Interesting.
He posts some different like food stuff that he tries, which is all like interesting to me because I love that crazy shit.
Yeah, like that no cheese cheese sauce with the cashews there.
Yeah, was that what it was?
Yeah. I'd be very interested in that because I don't do cheese either.
I don't do dairy. I have like vegan cheese here and stuff, which I've actually learned to like.
Yeah,
but I don't do the dairy cheese.
Yeah, man, I bought tofu last night for the first time.
Oh, I don't know if I like that.
Have you ever had it?
Not that I can remember.
Well, then go ahead and give it a try because it really has no flavor. And I threw it into an Asian dish and had some little bit of soy sauce on there, double the soy. Ooh. And it was quite delicious.
That's actually what tofu is, isn't it? Soy?
Yeah, soybeans, yeah. And water. But very high in protein and then obviously not meat.
So what is like, what's a normal dinner? Give me two normal dinners of yours that you make.
That I make is I'll do this... like a Mexican, either bulgur I'll use, or I'll use, now I've started to use barley.
No clue what that is.
Bulgur, somebody has said maybe it's, not somebody, but I thought I read something about, or Annie said that it's it's essentially like pasta, but there's something about it that's not obviously pasta. It's a grain and it's way better for you. I don't remember exactly. But anyways, I think you'd like it. It's pretty good. But anyways, I'll do that or I'll do barley. I'm a big fan of barley. It's super good for you and I really enjoy the texture and I've gotten it down pretty well on cooking it. But anyways, I'll do that. I'll do like a vegan Mexican dish with one of the two and just throw a bunch of, you know, different types of Mexican spices, especially the cumin and then chili powder, garlic powder, onion powder or whatever, salt and pepper. Then I'll throw in a bunch of veggies, you know, whatever. It's always usually onion, pepper, and mushroom. And then I'll go with black beans, kidney beans, and lentils. And then after I make the barley or the bulgur, I'll add in 500 grams of tomato sauce. Just to obviously make it a little bit not so dry, a little bit saucy. And with all those Mexican spices, it's like a nice little Mexican dish. But yeah, vegan.
No dairy. And you're almost fully vegan, or you're just not doing meat, or
I wouldn't say I'm fully vegan. I certainly buy vegan.
Yeah.
I don't, if I'm out and eating at a restaurant and I don't have another option to get a different type of protein source, then I'll eat the meat. I'm okay with that. But pretty close to being dairy free. I do enjoy myself pizza. So I'll do pizza once a week. So that's literally one meal. And again, I don't buy anything dairy. I don't buy meat.
The pizza, do you make pizza? Or you mean you'll go out and just normal?
Definitely. I'll go out and have normal pizza. Again, I'm not fully anything.
Right.
But I am, you know, I'd say I'm in my lifestyle. I'm probably at this point, like 85-15. 85% healthy, 15% fun, yeah. If you want to call it that.
I would say you're 100% fun, but I mean in the aspect of dieting, you're talking about that 15.
My man. And the same
dude, when I was listening to our last podcast, I was like,
or actually all the ones I posted so far, I'm like, they all seem really, really deep. But I, for a lot of my, for the most part of my life, I'm just kind of like joking around.
Yeah.
Like I, like me and you send each other snaps of just us just dancing or like crushing beats.
Right.
And that's how I want to live all the time.
Right.
It's just, I think the topics that we've talked about so far have been like ones that are more needed to talk about
right now. Yeah, of course. I think because you and I are so, you know, involved with that book, you know, The Untethered Soul, we're so into it, we're so amazed by it, and we're so like high on it, you know? And so every time we talk, like just like earlier, you sent me that voice message saying that it's literally the fixer of all of life's problems. And that's how I view it as well. So, you know, I don't think that high, that that feeling that we have about that book will ever change. But I think in these early stages, when we do these talks, that, yeah, we'll talk about that. But heck, we're both fun guys. We can branch out and talk about really anything.
No, I know. I totally agree. And like I was saying in that voice note, which in the voice note for anybody listening, complete transparency today, woke up and just felt like anxious, felt like kind of like, I don't even know, kind of like, fuck, it's, I'm really putting myself in a vulnerable position with like the stuff I'm talking about and stuff, which is what I've always wanted to do, but it's been a fear of mine. Like just rejection has always been something that I've felt like I was scared of, and getting accepted and that kind of shit. So I woke up this morning and I was like, fuck, like I'm putting a lot of shit right now that's pretty sensitive. And so I was feeling it. And I spent like the first 30 minutes of the day, like trying to fix it, but trying to figure out why am I feeling this? Like what the fuck is going on? Like I'm doing good. Like why am I feeling this way right now? And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back and read the book, like read my notes on it, maybe even a chapter. And I made note cards, like legit wrote out note cards for every chapter, like probably like 8 or 9 of them, just to skim through. And I was like, I'm just going to look at my deck of note cards and see where the fuck it takes me, see like how I'm feeling after. And literally within the third note card, I was like, yo, you're good. Like acknowledge that you're heading, that you just headed into that like lower vibration, those lower thoughts, and like just stay within like your higher self and like let it go and release it. And just like, you know, you're not solving anything when you try to fix it, because you're fixing it from that disturbance rather than fixing it from like a place of love. And you also, when you're in that place of like feeling kind of anxious or whatever, you literally can't fix the situation, because that part of you, like that part of your mind, like the lower parts of your mind, the anxiety and fear and worry and all that stuff, it's impossible to solve the situation, because every single one of your thoughts is filtered through that disturbance.
Absolutely.
So you try and fix it, and not only are you giving it energy, like giving it more attention and building it up more, but you literally can't even solve the situation if you try from that place, because you're literally looking through that lens. It's almost like looking through glasses, and you're trying to figure out everything, but you're still looking through the same pair of glasses.
Yeah. So a pair of glasses that shouldn't be on your eyes. You should have a different pair. Yeah.
Exactly. You should have that fucking pair of glasses that you look through, and it's a psychedelic, unreal experience, and you're like, this is unreal.
Yeah, and so clear.
Yeah, and that shift is kind of like I told you before, like there's the two shifts for me are like, I view life through a place of fear, or I shift and I view life from a place of love. Everything. Yeah. Like what, it's A or B. So like some days I feel A just a couple times, and some days I'm purely in looking at it through love, and some days you're looking through it the whole day through fear. But today, this morning, like going back to what I was saying, was just, yeah, I woke up, I was like, shit. And then I went back, read these note cards, and within like 3 or 4 note cards, I was like, oh my God, man, whole energy shift, whole like weight taken off your shoulders, like heart open up again, just like surge of energy coming through. And then that's when I sent a message to my girlfriend and was just like, yo, this is what just happened to me. I woke up feeling like shit. Then I started reading again. Now I feel fucking awesome. I love you. I love life. I love everything. And then I was like, I sent you that message right after and was like, dude, this book is fucking nuts, man. Like it's insane, because it's literally like every situation Read the book.
I know.
Go back to the book.
I know. Absolutely. And it's funny because that was actually the chapter I was kind of on today. Not that, but the heart and the energy field that the heart is. It's unbelievable. I was chapter 6 of the book today. And the next one is the transcending the tendency to close. And, the stuff I was telling you, I kind of want to get out there on Instagram. What I'm wanting to talk about is our conversation from the other day when we were talking about, you know, how I said that a baby just born is the most pure human, I would say, in the world, right? Because they have no disturbances, no blockages. They are just love. They are happiness. Maybe not at that exact stage, but let's say 2 years old or 3 years old or 4 years old.
Right.
They, you know, like we said, they do whatever they want. They say whatever they want. And they do it because of pure joy, pure happiness, pure love. And if they say something that's crazy, they don't know that it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not afraid to say something. They're not afraid to do something because they don't care about other people's reactions, or they don't even know that if they do something, they're going to get a reaction from somebody. You know what I mean?
They live in spirit.
They live, yeah, completely. And so us as adults, should be our goal in life, is to get to that place of happiness, of purity. Not at a maturity standpoint, obviously, right? But when in terms of being purely happy, purely full of love, and purely full of joy, that's where we should get back to. Is, you know, when you're young, you always want to grow up, and here we are older, and we should be wanting to grow young, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's great. That's a great thing to talk about. I forgot that we had that conversation yesterday, and it's so fucking true. And it's like, I was thinking about, like, you know, I've always, like, in the last, like, year, I've had, like, this pull to go back to, like, wanting to be a kid. Like, not like, go back to where I had, like, lived at home and had, like, no responsibilities and stuff like that, but just where I, like, enjoyed life the way that I did when I was a kid.
Right.
And exactly like you're saying, all of these kids, like, when you are a kid, before you have those, before you're able to recognize that you have inner disturbances, you're just living purely in your spirit, like purely as your higher self, as like joy and happiness and like enthusiasm, crazy amounts of energy. And you just look at kids, any kindergarten, any elementary school, you walk around, you're just like, dude, all these kids are just having so much fun. They just love life. They're not worried about what they're going to be when they're 35 and 40. Like I said to you, that you ask one of them, they're like, I want to be a dinosaur. I want to be a picture frame. I don't just like the, like, they don't care. They don't,
exactly.
Half of it doesn't even make sense. And they don't give a fuck. They're just like, they're loving life. They're there for the moment, and they're in every single moment as it happens until you get to that point where you start recognizing trauma and stuff like that, or recognizing that you're having that disturbance. And I totally agree. And that's where that's where I'm going back to right now, is literally living my life with the same energy and passion and enthusiasm and stuff like that as I did when I was 5, 6, 7, 8. Like my little sister is the perfect example for me, and she's such a role model for me. Same with my little brother, because my little sister hasn't got to that point yet. Same with your kids. Like she's 6 now, and she does not have a concept of like fear or any of that stuff at all. And she, you just watch her, and she's pure energy, like pure living through spirit. And so I'm like, when does that change? Like, when does that switch?
Well, I think it, you know, and I was just thinking about it, you know, as you go through life, right? So I was just started thinking about bullies and kids at a young age of 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. They deal with, unfortunately, there's bullies already at that age. So what is, let's just say, for example, my daughter Harper, she's 4 years old. I don't think she has dealt with any bullies at daycare yet, but I would say in 2 years or 3 years, she's probably going to come to something like that, right? And so what is happening to that kid that is different from what's happening to Harper at home? So you think something from home is happening, right? Or they were bullied or something, but something is happening that is causing a disturbance, causing some sort of blockage, and now they're reacting, they're lashing out. You know what I mean? So maybe they're at home and things aren't good between mom and dad, or one of the two are alcoholic or something. But as you go through life, eventually something is going to start happening, some sort of event, right? That's going to happen, that's going to take place, that the kid is going to experience. They don't know how to deal with it. But it does cause a negative energy to build up inside of them. And eventually they won't deal with it. It'll stay there, you know, and then it comes out in life many, many years later, or even next week or a month or a year later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as you go through life, more events start happening. And again, like you said, you start analyzing them or start realizing their significance, maybe on you or on other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So I think that's where the disturbances start. As you get older, we live in a very beautiful world, but a very unfortunate world where there's a lot of nastiness out there, a lot of terrible, terrible things that happen, you know, and we are seeing them happen. You know, you turn on the news every day. It's unfortunate, the news. People shouldn't watch the news because all it is just negativity and people dying and all this craziness, you know? So yeah, it's like I said, it's a beautiful world, but it's a very unfortunate world. And I think that's when things start happening, is when events are happening that we don't know how to handle at such a young age, and we bury them and then they come back 20 years later or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say, is when you are that young, because you don't even understand what's going on, that's exactly what happens, is something comes into you, right? Like that energy that you're perceiving in the world, the objects and the events that are going on out, like in your actual world, come into your body or come into your psyche and get turned into like that thing that gets blocked, like it doesn't make it through you, and so it gets stored away, and then all of a sudden you're 15 and you're like, why am I so upset in this situation? And it's like we were saying in the last podcast, it's because you never got to deal with it before.
Exactly.
So for sure, and that might even go back to parenting, where it is so important to be like a parent that is loving and mindful that your kid, that when you allow like disturbances or you create disturbances at home, you're literally robbing your kid of living in spirit. And
exactly.
Eventually it happens to everybody. Eventually, like, something, you can't just live undisturbed your whole life, but yeah, that's what us as older people now are still dealing with. Like these things that are coming up in us now every day might not be from a week ago. They might not be from our high school. They could be from literally from when we're 3 years old or 5 years old, because it doesn't, that, like it says in that book, it doesn't, energy doesn't know any age. It doesn't know any of, it doesn't know like the date or whatever. It just, it's always there. So whatever you're perceiving when you're a kid, it's still getting stored inside of you, whether your mind can conceptualize it or not. It's still getting stored inside of you and can still come back up when you're 40 or when you're 60 or whatever.
Yeah, man. It's I'm actually going to throw some things in there that I haven't ever talked about publicly, and I'm just going to talk about them now because I'm okay with talking about them, because it hits. And the reason why is because it's hitting exactly this conversation as when things happen to us as kids. So here we go. When I was 5 years old, I was sexually abused for 2 years. And so until I was 7 years old. And so there I am as a five-year-old, and this is happening to me. And like you just said, we don't know, I can't remember the exact word you used, but you can't, I didn't know how to deal with it then, but I didn't even know if I needed to deal with it. You know, it happened, things got found out, police were called, everything, but I was seven-year-old Jake. I didn't receive any type of help mentally. So for many, many years, I think maybe I was going to go down one particular path. These types of things happen to me, very catastrophic things at such a young age, such an impressionable age. And I think, yeah, like I said, I was going to go down one path, but these things happening to me sent me down a different path. So like I said, I didn't get any type of help for this until 18 years later. So I had 18 years of stored trauma, right? Mental trauma. But in that moment, when those things were happening, I didn't know it as that, you know?
Yeah.
Until I finally did get the help. And man, it's unbelievable how, you know, looking back on my life now in my teenage years, I would get in these major mood swings and I would be not myself for a week every single month. No joke. 1 week every single month, I would get in major mood swings. I would be depressed and I'd be crying. And that went on for like 10 years. And I had no idea why. It just happened. I didn't understand things. I didn't know how to deal with my emotions. And eventually I started going and this same path that all those events sent me on, and I went into a bad place, and I was making very, very unfortunate decisions until I got help and I started figuring out, okay, so this is where it's all coming from. I was given the tools, in a sense, to kind of start dealing with my pain, dealing with my past. And once I was able to get through that is when I was able to really start making some serious changes in my life and, you know, kind of correct myself in a way, get back on the path that I was on as a four-year-old. I was going on path A, I was put on path B, and now I'm back on path A. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, some like a, just
yeah, yeah, man. That's, well, first off, I fucking love you, and I think it's unreal that you are not only like working through your stuff, but like just such a fucking positive dude. That's why I love talking to you so much, because you literally are, you're an awesome example of like a role model and just like a great human. And like, I mean, I know you haven't told a lot of people that stuff, and it just goes to show how great of an example you are for anybody, just that you're willing to like kind of share your stuff to help someone else out, which I think you do a lot of.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
But going off of like the point that you're saying is like, you know, when you were a kid and all that happened, you don't even recognize what's going on, right? Like you can't even perceive it. Your mind isn't at the point where it can understand what's going on. So process what happened, right? but your heart and that energy totally gets it. Your consciousness witnesses it, and it comes into you, and that trauma, like exactly what you're saying, it gets stored and it doesn't go away. And it if anything, it built and built and built over those years that you didn't deal with it. And then finally, when you were saying you kept getting those once a week, did you say once a week you would just feel awful, or once a month you would feel awful? No,
for 1 week every single month. So
yeah,
for one week I would be not me at all, crying, depressed, major mood swings. I'd go from being this type of Jake, the happy, fun, joking around Jake, to a completely uncomfortable, insecure, just not a very fun person to be around, you know?
And that's all that stuff coming back up, you know?
Exactly.
And that's why I think it's awesome that you're dealing with it. And I think it's a great example to anybody that listens that is just like, holy shit, like, you know, because professional hockey players can be really, really romanticized and idealized, where they put on a pedestal and it's like, that guy's never dealt with any of this stuff. Like, he's never been through anything. And you're starting to hear a lot more stories and stuff like that of people that have actually been dealing with stuff and open up about it. And it just blows people away that they dealt with that, because you get put in that spotlight of, dude, this guy's a fucking warrior. He would never have to go through this stuff that I'm going through. And you, that's why I think you're a great role model, is you faced a lot of shit growing up. Right. And you're still, right now, if somebody looked at your page right now, they'd be like, holy fuck, man, I'm sure there's people that are like, this guy never went through some of the stuff I went through, because you're so happy and you're so positive and you're so vibrant about life. Right. Yet the reason that you are vibrant about life and enjoying every moment is because you dealt with all that stuff. You let that stuff come back up so you could release it and then move forward with your life and in pure enjoyment and enthusiasm of every day.
Well, exactly. And it's like I said, so I went through 3 years of therapy, couples therapy, and then personal therapy. And even how great that stuff was, it was unbelievable just to be able to talk to somebody from an unbiased opinion, a person that you know is not going to judge you, or if they are judging you, they're certainly not going to let you know what I mean? But it was beautiful. And I remember I would do it 2 times a week for literally 3 years. I remember every time leaving, I felt just the sense of relief and how good I felt. In some sessions, I was just crying for a whole hour. But when have you ever cried and not felt better after, in terms of dealing with stuff? You know what I mean?
It's actually, crying is actually purging. Crying is actually purging energy from your body. It's purging a lot of negative energy out of you.
Exactly, exactly. And so now, so in saying that, this book is on a whole nother level than the mental therapy that I've gone through. It's so much higher than that. You know what I mean? It's at such a spiritual level. And like you said, it's truly is. Yeah. It's the end all be all for your problems, because like we were talking the other day, and how Michael Singer, he says it in one of his, YouTube videos, that all problems start with the mind, or all something like that. I can't remember.
Every one of your current problems is created by your mind. I think it was something like that.
Something like that. And there's no exceptions to it. And it's just, that's the absolute truth. So, obviously, I wasn't expecting to bring all that stuff out right here, right now. But I'm happy I did. I just, it felt right in the moment because of kind of the topic we were on and being kids and everything. But I appreciate all the things you said. And I hope that for anybody listening, I would assume to about a 95% to 99% guarantee that some of you have gone through similar things or just stuff. And I just advise you guys to get out there and talk to somebody that's educated on, you know, the mental psychology, the psychology of people. And it's certainly going to help you and help you to get back on track, because I don't believe you can ever truly get back on track unless you deal with your past.
Wow, man. Unfucking real. I gave you all the props in the world about how transparent you are. I try to be the same way as you, and just I think that's why me and you kind of enjoy talking to each other so much. And but fuck, I learn a lot from you every day. It's unreal.
Thanks, buddy. And hey, I mean, I could say all the same things about you that you've said about me. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of your story, but you know, we've had the talks about the panic attacks and anxiety and things like that. And hell, man, I don't believe I've ever had that type of mental stuff going on, but I've heard about it. I've read about it. I've heard about it from you, and it's serious too, you know? And I think you're doing it one hell of a job, at staying happy and staying positive and seeing life for what it really is, you know? And I don't know if you've fully dealt with it. I believe you have. And I know this book is certainly helping you out with it too. And just keep going. I love it. I love you. Frick. I love everything, man.
Fuck,
it's awesome.
I love you, man. It just literally goes back to the first thing we were saying. It's this fucking book.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I wouldn't have been dealing with this shit as much as I, as on the level that I am, or with the understanding that I have, same as you, if we hadn't have read this book and understood the principles of it and the lessons from it. And like, fuck, it's a deep book. Like, it's really, it's hard to grasp, because if you're not really into spirituality or like any of that kind of stuff, some of the stuff sounds really out there. But if you can grasp, if you can understand it and you can take the lessons from it, like it literally frees you.
I agree. But I totally agree. I don't think there isn't a bad thing to say. Yeah, it's deep, but I don't think the terminology, I don't think he's using any types of words in the book.
If the word consciousness or like spirit awareness. Or like aware, like if those kind of words can put people off, because there's like almost a stigma attached to them.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, fucking get out of here with your consciousness, you know, like you're sitting on a yoga mat and on top of a hill, like, you know, that. But it's not that, and if you can just grasp it, man, like fuck.
Every person I've suggested this book to, I said it will change your life. It'll change your mind, and therefore it'll change your life. And some have said they're going to read it. My hope for the world is that they are somehow they find out about this book and they are reading it slowly. Processing it all with
like one chapter a day. One chapter a day is what I did, and at the end of the chapter, like I highlighted everything that I thought was important in the chapter that stuck out to me. At the end of the chapter, I went back and read all the highlighted shit again, and then like wrote down like little points, summarized like the little highlighted things, so that I had it in my fucking mind. And it's 18 chapters, so you can do it in 18 days. I think it's 19. 19 chapters, you can do it in 19 days. And like, dude, I was just telling my sister yesterday, if you don't feel a ton better by chapter 6,
I'll literally pay for the book and I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
Because it's, dude, you do. Like, if you sit there and you're present, like, if you're in, if you're like, yo, I'm going to fucking listen to, I'm going to read this book and I'm going to give it everything that I have to like actually want to understand it. And if you're there for that, those first five chapters, you're done. You're like, oh my God, man, everything that I thought about my life flipped upside down.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that people need to focus on too, when reading this book, especially this book, because you need to read every word. You need to be fully present as you are reading those words. And you know how it goes. Sometimes you're reading a book and your mind wanders, and it's like driving a car. As you're driving, you're not even aware that you're driving because you're so in your head. And 20 minutes pass, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even remember driving. Same thing as you're reading a book. But there always comes a point while reading where you come back to your consciousness and you realize, oh, here I am reading. In that moment, please, I'm begging you to go back three paragraphs, go back a page, and fully present yourself again in those words, and fully process and be aware of every single word you read, of every single chapter of that book. And your life is going to change if you start incorporating the lessons that are taught in the book.
Yeah, 100%. It's so funny that it's a book too. Like, I tried so much different shit. I know I can speak for you too, with like the motivation and like all that stuff. And I was like, oh, you try to fix everything else outside of you. Like, I tried to fucking run through walls. I tried to change my entire diet super, super strict. I tried doing like a ton of different self-work and like motivation type therapies, hypnosis, all that shit to like control the outside world. And then this book is just like, yo, you're never, ever, ever going to be happy when you're controlling shit outside of you until you fix what's going on inside.
Absolutely. It's like, I feel like I've won the lottery with that book.
Straight, 100%.
In a sense, you know, like, and again, like I told you yesterday, we were on the phone. I didn't even buy the book. The book was not, Annie bought the book. Annie was going to read the book, but Annie wasn't reading the book. So I was literally packing to come here to Finland. I saw the book. I had no clue. I didn't read the back. I didn't read anything about it. I just threw it in my bag. And I didn't read it right away when I got here. It took me 4 months before I decided to pick the thing up. And when I did, holy Hannah. I feel like I'm a totally different person from I was just 6 months ago.
Yeah, same, you know, here. Like, 100%, it's man.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That was absolute destiny for you to pick that book up. It was like, I feel the same way too. I don't know if you were the one that told me to read it.
I know I suggested it to you before you started reading it.
I think a couple of people had suggested it to me. But like I said to you, dude, it was literally like, after the first chapter, I think every day that I read a chapter, I text you like, bro, what the fuck, man? This book is like, this is exactly what I was looking for. And I think like you were saying when we talked the first time, or maybe not even on the podcast, but when we were talking before, and you said that you don't do a ton of meditation, like actual sitting meditation. Yeah. But meditation is really just life. If you think about it, like what you're doing in meditation, the practice of meditation, when you're sitting there and you're observing your thoughts, it's just teaching you the exact thing that this book is teaching you to do at every moment, is just to be aware that you are the one watching all of this. Yes. And that you have the decision in every moment to go and connect with your higher self, or connect with God, and live through God's eyes, or through God's love, through your highest self's love, or you can go with the thoughts and the emotions by giving them your attention. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're sitting there in meditation and stillness and like observing your thoughts and sorting them. And you were saying that you didn't do a ton of sitting meditation was because when you read the book already, that book teaches you exactly what all these meditation, or a lot of these meditation practices, are trying to teach you at the end point.
Exactly.
So I took the long route of getting there, which was me sitting in meditation for hours a day and like figuring out, why am I sitting in meditation? Well, now I'm finally been doing it for a while, and now I understand that I can kind of observe these thoughts and kind of like see that they're outside of me, and I don't have to follow them. And then you gave me and then you told me to read the book. And then as soon as I read the book, I was like, well, this seems so familiar. Wait a minute. This is literally exactly what meditation is trying to teach you, is all of the practices inside of this book.
Absolutely, man. I couldn't say it any better myself. That's exactly it.
Yeah, it's fucking unreal. Yeah, I've never. Yeah. If you would have asked me a year ago, JT, or if you would have told me a year ago, JT, you're going to be talking on a podcast about a book for an hour every other day or whatever, I'd be like, dude, are you fucked? Like, I don't even read. I haven't read it. I haven't read a book since I was in seventh grade reading To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh yeah, there you
like,
go.
I just didn't read books. Like, and then I was like, oh, maybe I should get into books a little more. And then here we are. Now it's like, fuck, I want to read more.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So crazy. So crazy. Somehow I wasn't as sure what exactly we were going to talk about today. But here we are. And I feel like, again, we're on this high of this book. It's going to be hard for us to have conversations in podcast form about other things at the moment, you know, for the next foreseeable future, I guess.
That's okay. And I think that with the conversations we're having right now, it's not only about me and you. Like when me and you talk on the phone, we don't only talk about the book. We talk about everything else that's going on.
Yeah,
and shit.
Exactly.
But I think like when we know that it's going to be going out to people and like you have the chance right now to help people, it's like you have this, exactly like you said, a lottery ticket that you feel like is like this golden ticket, whatever you want to call it, that you just want everybody else to experience. You're like so pumped about it. And you're like, dude, you know, we could sit here and talk about that middle school playlist that we fucking, that's unbelievable. The dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Dance with. But,
oh my gosh.
But there's like, you know, we're so pumped about the way that we feel that we're like, dude, we need it. Let's just get this out to people and so that they can get up all aboard this fucking train and be like, all right, we're seeing what you're talking about now.
Yeah. I think it's about, you know, putting quality content out there. If people want to see or hear you and I talking about music, well, they can just, you know, pretty much watch our Instagram stories. You're on there jamming and I'm on mine jamming. I actually just did a thing just now where I asked, you know, my followers for song suggestions, and I had many people messaging me, and then I put their song onto me dancing to it, having a good time, you know, like, but yeah, man, I want people to know about this book. I want people to understand that it's right there. We all in this whole entire world have access to this book for the most part, to a certain degree. You just got to be aware about this book, find it, read it, process it, and boom.
Yeah. And it's not even going to take you, like we said before, it doesn't take you off on this own journey where you have to leave everything and you're not going to be able to work anymore and you're going to have to leave your family or quit your job or anything. It literally, you could do this book, read one chapter a night and still be out there doing whatever the fuck you do. You could be selling drugs and still reading this book. You could literally do anything that you're doing. You just change your perspective and you start doing everything through your highest version of yourself or through love. And it's like, oh, that's the best. It's unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Because here I am. I've got game one of playoffs starting tomorrow. And here we are talking about this stuff. I'm still me doing my normal everyday things of playing hockey and interacting with people and jamming and doing all that stuff. But I'm in, like you said, I'm in my higher self. I'm not completely there. Absolutely don't think that at all. But I am in a higher version than I was a year ago, 6 months ago, you know.
Yeah.
That's very rewarding. That's a rewarding thing. That's what you want to get. You know, if you're going to read that type of book, this is the type of result you want to get. You know, you don't want to read a book that you're not engaged in and you're kind of just going through the motions. You're not present while you're reading it and you're not getting anything from it. And on top of that, you're wasting the $15, $20 that you spent on buying the thing, you know? So this book, like, again, you read it, you process it, you're open-minded, you're going to get some solid results and it's going to be very rewarding.
And the result, like the end goal is literally to live every single moment, every single day in enthusiasm and excitement, joy, happiness. Like the way that you fucking look at Jake's Instagram when he's dancing on the stories, that's literally exactly how we were talking about kids. Like when you watch a kid and they're just dancing around, they're having fun. Like that's the goal. That's like where you're supposed to be. That's like, and you can still deal with all of the same stuff that you got going on, but you just do it from that way of you're having fun, you're energetic, you're excited about life. And that's what the book teaches you. And that's what the book takes you. And it's like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. Cause I like, you know, like we said in our last podcast, sorry, I switched teams. And so I've been on this new team now for about 4.5-5 weeks. And I've already got the nickname of Mr. Sunshine. the first day I got here, we had sun for the next straight 10 days and they hadn't had that in, you know, a few months. And every morning I wake up, it's snowing. I literally will look out there and say, I don't care if it's snowing. It's still sunny in my world. And literally, I leave practice and boom, it's sunny.
Wow.
So
that's
it's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, man. Because you know, it's really funny because I'll show up to the rink and like I said, it'll be snowing and guys will ask me how I'm doing. Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How are you? And they're like, oh, it's cloudy. It's snowing. And I was like, yeah, but the sun's always shining. And they're like, well, no, it's not. It's cloudy. I said, well, yes, it is. But can you see it? You know what I mean? Can you see
it?
Are you allowing the clouds to overshadow your sunshine? Or do you know that A, truly the sun is always shining somewhere? Or B, from a mental kind of spiritual type of thing, can you see it?
And it's literally the sun. Yeah, it's out there all the time. It's just I think in the metaphor of going back to your psyche is the filters that you're throwing on top of it, which is your problems, your worries and stuff like that. Those are the clouds.
Exactly. Those are the clouds. Exactly.
It's always fucking sunny if you can see it.
If you can see it, baby. There you go. My man, I knew you would understand that.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Mr. Sunshine, I like that. Yeah. That totally does work for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Unreal, man.
But yeah, hey, we're going to unfortunately have to wrap this up. Like I said, I got a buddy coming in town. I'm going to go out to some tea with him. But yeah, frick, that was great again. And I cannot possibly wait. I am going to wait. I'm going to have no other option but to wait. But I can't wait until our next one. Yeah, buddy, love you. Thanks again for having me.
No worries,
dude. I look
forward
to the next one. And
I'm here whenever you want.
My man.
It might be a little harder when I'm... back in the US because we're going to be on different times.
Yeah, but right now, so you're going to be in Arizona, right? So it's 6:25. It's what? It is?
It's 8. 8 hours. 8 hours ahead.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so it's 10:25. Yeah, if you don't mind doing things in the morning, yeah.
Oh, no, that'd be great. Dude, it's honestly hard for me to sit down. And once I read this book, when I read and go back through these little note cards, I legitimately have so much energy rushing through me that it's almost hard for me to sit down and not move for an hour and just talk.
Yeah, I know.
It's fucking nuts. I want to just go run around and go do a workout and dance and just mosh. I don't even know. Just go nuts.
I think the greatest thing would be is you're going to be in summer mode, so you might as well go and work out and get jacked and throw on some unbelievable tunes and just have yourself one hell of a workout.
Oh, I'm absolutely going to get completely shredded.
I know, I can't
especially
wait.
Because there's not going to be, I don't have to train for hockey or whatever in the next year. I'm going to just literally be I'm going to be a machine.
Gosh, I can't. I love summer workouts, man. And I bring my music. And
dude, we used to do that summer workout at that. You showed me that workout, that picture that we took right before we did that in Ontario.
Yeah.
What was that one? It was the shoulder one that you did with 10 different sized dumbbells, lined them up.
Oh yeah. We were doing a little shoulder burn out, doing flies, lateral raises. And that's how you get, and I don't know if you remember, but I call them the Dwight Howard shoulders because his shoulders are it's like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I really enjoy that now. And I have been for the last 5 years.
You enjoy the bowling ball shoulders?
Yeah, man, it's the round. I just think it freaking looks unreal and just jacked and shredded. And people might think we're crazy or cocky or something, but man, we work hard. And
not at all. I think that's just self-confidence, not ego.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think you have to love yourself.
Yeah, I work hard to, I guess, look. And how I look is how I look based on, I don't know.
The work you're putting in, though.
Yeah, and so you might as well embrace it and love it and feel good about it, because I know I do, and I know you do, too, and that's why we took that picture, and our shoulders are just bulging, baby.
Oh, we were pumped. I don't remember who took that. I thought it was Biebs.
It might have been Biebs. It could have been...
I thought it was Biebs or Soul Train.
I can see both of them taking that picture, but I also feel like Soul Train would have been in that workout with us, and he would have been therefore in the picture, perhaps.
Ooh, maybe it was the trainer.
Ooh, could have been Franz. Yeah,
is that what his name was?
Yeah, well, that was his nickname.
It was Brett.
Brett. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have some times, and we're gonna have some fucking times going forward.
Oh,
I gotta see you this summer. We gotta get that middle school dance playlist going somewhere.
Oh, Yeah.
Crack it wide open.
I do have an extra Zach Brown band ticket.
Where?
August 2nd, Cleveland.
Dude, I'm not going to be in Cleveland at all.
Yeah, I'm just saying you could be.
I don't know. If for some reason I'm out in that neck of the woods, I'm there.
Well, my man.
All right, bro.
All right, buddy. Love you.
Have fun having tea with your boy.
Yeah, you know it, baby.
Text me.
It will do. Love you, buddy. All right, bro. Take care.
Love you. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. I love y'all. If you have any questions or concerns or it sparked something that I said that you want to ask me about, send me a message on Instagram at JT Barnett. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you can send me a voice message. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can leave a review or subscribe. Or if you're listening to it, I think it's on Spotify. I'm not sure if it's on Spotify yet, but whatever ones you're on, subscribe if you can so that you got my updates when anything comes up. And like I said, if you got any questions, please feel free to message me. I try to get back to all of them. Thank you so much for listening. I'm out. I'll talk to you guys again soon. All right.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.